Okay. So we have electricity again. Great.
I will continue to read the scripture.
Yeah. Okay. So our first lesson last night was a little bit more like evidence, not so much Bible preaching. But our first two lessons today were a little bit more Bible lessons. So this time we're going to go back to one that's more evidence kind of thing. So I want to talk about who Jesus is. You know, there are many ideas out there about who Jesus is. Some people say he's a sage. That means a wise man. Now, do you believe Jesus was a wise man? Okay. Some people say he's a prophet. Others say he's a liar, a deceiver. Some people say he was crazy. Others say he's the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. Others say the Son of Man. Still others say Son of God. Some people say he's God in the flesh. Others say that he's just a legend, a myth. It's just created out of all the other myths like Mithra and Krishna and Osiris and all that. Other people say it's just a man, just a man. People say Jesus is a spiritual leader like others, like for example, Lao Tzu or Confucius or Buddha or one of these. Now, some of these do not contradict with each other. For example, could you be a sage and a prophet?
Yes.
Could you be a prophet and a liar?
No.
Okay. So my question is, which is the real Jesus? I want to talk about briefly, which is the real Jesus. Here in Bangladesh, there are many ideas about Jesus. I think the most common idea about Jesus in Asia is this last one, that Jesus is an important religious leader amongst many, that he would be similar to, say, Krishna or others. Okay? Now, I want to talk about that. There are many different religious leaders. Let's talk about what they claim. We're going to talk about what Jesus said about himself and what these other religious leaders said about themselves. What did Confucius say about himself? He said that he was a wise man. Do you agree that Confucius was a wise man?
Yes.
I think so. Joseph Smith, well, that's another story. The guy who founded Mormonism. Let's not talk about Joseph Smith. He was not a good man. Some people say there are many roads up the mountain. God is up here. You can take the road of Islam or Baha'i or Hinduism or Jesus or Buddhism. They say more or less the different paths but to the same place. I want to tell you that I believe that that makes no sense. That is nonsense. No one with clear thinking could agree with that. But that's certainly a common thought, isn't it? What did Baha'u'llah, who founded the Baha'i faith, Baha'u'llah said he is a prophet, the last of the prophet, and the greatest prophet. Lao Tzu claimed to have intimate knowledge of God and a wise path to know God. Buddha claimed to be a wise man, to have found the noble path. You know, I actually like Buddha. Almost everything I know about him I like. If you read about his eightfold path, I like that. Right thinking, right action, these things. I don't like the fact that he abandoned his wife and his children, but other than that, I like Buddha. Moses, what did Moses say? Moses said that he was a prophet and he spoke directly to God. What did Muhammad claim? Muhammad claimed almost the same thing that Moses claimed, really. That he was a prophet and that he had direct contact with God, that Gabriel spoke to him. And then there's Jesus. We're going to look at the claims of Jesus. We're going to find out that Jesus is not like any other religious leader. In fact, he's in a category absolutely, completely by himself. In fact, if Jesus' claims are true, then maybe some of the claims of these others are not true by their very nature. All right? Now, really, we're going to look at some of the claims of Jesus. They're pretty astounding claims. And at some point, you're forced to make a decision. Either Jesus is who he says he is, And if that's true, then other options are really not possible. Maybe he's crazy. Maybe he's a liar. Maybe he's a deceiver. But I'll tell you, one choice is definitely not true, that he's one religious leader amongst many, equal to Muhammad or Bahul or others. That option is definitely ruled out by his claims. Jesus said many things. We already saw in the last lesson, Jesus said, these are the scriptures that testify about me. Now, David, I want you to stand up, just as an example. Okay, stand up. I want you to tell people that this is true of you, that the whole Old Testament was written about you. Just turn around and tell people that the scripture was written about you. Now, please do that with a little bit more confidence, please. Now, David, look them in the eye with conviction. Okay, you're okay. You're off the hook. You can sit down. Jesus said to the teacher of Israel, these are the scriptures that testify about me. Now, when David first said that, you're like, ha, 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 ha. You're just joking. He said, why are you laughing? The whole Old Testament was written about me. Now, anybody else who said that, crazy, liar. Jesus said, the entire Old Testament was written about me. He said other things that are really quite amazing. For example, in John chapter 6, we'll read that. John chapter 6. We'll be reading mainly from John, actually, because there you find the most claims that Jesus made about himself. Let's read John 6, 48 through 51.
আমি জীবন রুটি আপনাদের পূর্বপুরুষেরা মরু এলাকায় মান্না খেয়েছিলেন আর তবু তারা মারা গেছেন কিন্তু এ সেই রুটি যা স্বর্গ থেকে নেমে এসেছে যাতে মানুষ তা খেয়ে মৃত্যুর হাত থেকে রেহাই পায় আমি সেই জীবন্ত রুটি যা স্বর্গ থেকে নেমে এসেছে এই রুটি যে খাবে সে চিরকালের জন্য জীবন পাবে আমার দেহ সেই রুটি মানুষ যেন জীবন পায় সেই জন্য আমি আমার এই দেহ দেব.
All right, Theo, let's pick on Theo next. All right, stand up.
Theo.
Maybe say it in Bengali. I'm the bread of life. Again, with conviction. All right, first time you're laughing. The second time you think he's crazy. Jesus stood in front of people who'd known him since he was a child. He says, I am the bread of life. If you feed upon me, you will live even though you die. Did Muhammad ever say something like that?
No.
No way. Moses? Buddha? Did any other religious leader ever say, I am the bread of life, and if you feed upon me, you will have eternal life? No one ever said anything like that. Jesus is not just some other religious leader. And notice this. Jesus had a habit of doing something and then making a claim related to what he did. What had Jesus done just a few hours before he made this statement? He fed more than 10,000 with bread and fish, made from nothing. You know, the way I see it is there's really only two choices. Either Jesus is the bread of life, the source of eternal life, the only one, or he's some kind of a deceiver or crazy or something. Jesus made other statements about himself. For example, let's read John chapter 8, verse 46.
46 পাঠ আমরা দেখতে পারি পিতাকে কেউ দেখেনি কেবল যিনি ঈশ্বরের কাছ থেকে এসেছেন তিনিই তাকে দেখেছেন.
Yeah. Now imagine one of us standing up. Let's say the husband stands up. All right, go ahead. Yeah. His wife is sitting next to him. Okay, here we go. Let's try this out. Can anybody prove me guilty of sin? His wife, okay, you can sit down, it's okay. His wife says, yeah, yeah. This morning, you should have seen him. I'm driving here. Oh, yes. Jesus said to people who had known him for many years, he said, can anybody prove me guilty of sin? I imagine them thinking, no. Did Confucius say that about himself? Did Muhammad claim to be without sin? Muhammad had a very bad temper. It's recorded in the Quran. Jesus said, can anybody prove me guilty of sin? Look at their response. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying you're demon-possessed? A Samaritan. Now, for anybody else, they would have said, yes, you did this and this and this and this and this. Jesus says, I'm without sin. And you know what they said? Basically, he said, he's crazy. Now, that makes no sense. Could a crazy man be without sin? Let's read down the page. John 8. Let's see. I think maybe verse 57 and 50. Let's see here. Yes, let's read John 8, verses 57 and verse 58. Actually, let's read verse 57 through 59. Sorry.
Jihudi netara jishuke bollen, tomar boyosh ekhono 50 bochor hoyni. Ar tumi ki Abraham ke dekhecho? Jishu tader bollen, ami apnader shotti bolchi. Abraham jonmogrohon korbar age thekei ami achi. Ei kotha shune sei netara jishuke marbar jonno pathor kuriye nilen.
And they're talking about Abraham, and Jesus says, Abraham was looking forward to me. And they said, now wait a minute, you're not even 40 years old. What are you talking about? And Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. Not before Abraham was born, I was. No. Before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus is claiming to be God, the pre-existent one. When Moses asked the Father, asked God, who to say sent him, he said, I am, Yahweh, I am. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up on this one. That would be blasphemy. Before I'd be joking, this time I don't even think it'd be funny. And look at their response. They picked up stones to stone him. Because Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. Now again, common sense says, either Jesus is who he says he is, or he's not. I mean, those are the only choices I can think of. And if Jesus is falsely claiming to be God, they should stone him. They ought to stone him. Many people say, oh, Jesus is a good teacher, a wise man, maybe even a prophet. Now, if Jesus is not God, then he's certainly no wise man, and he's certainly no prophet, and he's certainly no good teacher. Either he is who he said he is, or he should be rejected. You should either fall at his feet or hate him. But this common idea, he was just a good man, like many others. Really, that makes no sense. Then there's John chapter 10. Let's read verses 29 and
30. আমার পিতা যিনি তাদের আমাকে দিয়েছেন তিনি সকলের চেয়ে মহান কেহই পিতার হাত থেকে কিছু কেড়ে নিতে পারে না আমি আর পিতা এক.
So Jesus says, I and the Father, we're one. Now that could have two interpretations. Maybe what it means is, God and I, we're really close. God and I, we're really close. I suppose probably Buddha said that. Moses certainly said that. Either that or he's saying, look, folks, I'm God. Now, which was it? Well, look at their response. They picked up stones to stone him again. Right? Let's read about that. So Jesus says, I and the Father, we're one. They got it. They picked up stones to stone him. Jesus says, what are you picking up stones for? I mean, I worked miracles. I raised people from the dead. I walked on water. I gave bread to people. Why are you stoning me? They said, because you're claiming to be God. Jesus says, no, I'm not claiming to be God. I'm just claiming I'm close to God. Well, not actually. Did any other religious leader claim to be God? Of course not. But Jesus did. And then he fed 5,000. He walked on water. One more. At some point, you kind of get the idea. You know, it seems to say something. The next is John chapter 11. You probably know the story. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were very close to friends of Jesus, maybe even closer to him than some of the apostles. Lazarus was very sick, so they sent people to come save him because he'd healed many. Obviously, he'd want to heal Lazarus, his close friend. But Jesus says, no, I'm busy. So he comes. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. In a warm climate, after 4 days, what do you think a body is like? So he comes, and Martha pulls him aside, and she says, Jesus, if only you'd been here. You could have saved him. And Jesus says, he's going to rise. Let's read that conversation. We're kind of coming into the middle of the conversation. So John chapter 11. Let's read. Let me see. John 11. Let's read. Verse 23 through 26.
যিশু তাকে বললেন তোমার ভাই আবার জীবিত হয়ে উঠবে তখন মার্থা তাকে বললেন আমি জানি শেষ দিনে মৃত লোকেরা যখন জীবিত হয়ে উঠবে তখন সেও উঠবে যিশু মার্থাকে বললেন আমি পুনরুত্থান ও জীবন যে আমার উপর বিশ্বাস করে সে মরলেও জীবিত হবে আর যে জীবিত আছে এবং আমার উপর বিশ্বাস করে সে কখনো মরবে না তুমি কি এই কথা বিশ্বাস করো মার্থা তাকে বললেন হ্যাঁ প্রভু আমি বিশ্বাস করি যে জগতে যার আসবার কথা আছে আপনি সেই মসীহ ঈশ্বরের পুত্র
Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will live even though you die. He didn't say, I offer resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's quite a claim. Did anybody ever make a claim like that? I don't think so. People say, a wise man. Kind of like Muhammad. Jesus is a prophet, Muhammad a prophet. I say, if Jesus is a prophet, then maybe Muhammad is not a prophet. Because Muhammad said that Jesus was not crucified. And Muhammad said he was not God, but Jesus said he was God. They can't both be right. And if Jesus is who he says he is, then perhaps Muhammad is not a prophet. Now, Jesus had a habit of making the most amazing claims, then backing them up, you know? So they went out to the tomb, and Jesus said, roll back the stone. They said, Jesus, it's going to smell really bad. Are you sure you want to roll back that stone? Jesus said, roll back the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walked out of that tomb. You know what? I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I believe that if we believe in him, we will live even though we die. Who is Jesus? I believe who he is who he says he is. Now, if you read on further down, it says, because of this, many put their faith in him. I say, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know, Jesus raises Lazarus. On the fourth day, this terrible smell comes out of the tomb and out walks Lazarus. Yeah, I think so. I think people believed in him. That makes sense. But then if you read a little farther, it says, but a few went back to Jerusalem and they decided to kill him. Why did they decide to kill him? Was it because they didn't believe he raised Lazarus? No, it's because they believed he raised Lazarus. And they didn't like it because they didn't want to submit to him. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he says, go out and tell people about that. So people say, you know, Jesus, Muhammad, Baha'u'llah, Lao Tzu. I say, if Jesus is not who he says he is, then he's certainly not a prophet. And he's certainly not a teacher of wise things. You know, in Mark 3, some people said, maybe Jesus is crazy. But the problem is, crazy people do crazy things. And Jesus knew crazy things. And others called him a liar even. But Jesus did not do the things that liars do. In fact, nobody could publicly claim he's a liar. Because when he says he's the resurrection and the life, he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, I believe Jesus is who he says he is. My question is, who do you say he is? And what are you going to do about it? Because if you believe he is who he says he is, then he's Lord of your life, and you need to submit to him. There's a lot of people out there that have a false concept. They list Jesus amongst other prophets. But that makes no sense. That's irrational. So what are you going to do about that? I think maybe show them this lesson. Show them Jesus in the book of John. That's my suggestion. There are so many other things that point to who Jesus is. You know, we could talk about the prophecies. In Luke 24:44, Jesus said, everything that is written about me in the law and the prophets must be fulfilled. He claimed that he fulfilled all the prophecies of the Messiah. You know, there's many prophecies of the Messiah. There are many. For example, I'll keep it simple here. In Isaiah 53, it says about the Messiah that he was despised and rejected of men. Now, was Jesus despised and rejected of men? Yes. Do we know that merely because the apostles said so, or is that a historical fact? That's a historical fact. Now, let's just imagine, just go with me here. Let's just imagine that Jesus reads the Old Testament and he wants to claim to be the Messiah. All right? Let's just imagine this just for the sake of argument, okay? Says, all right, I need to get despised and rejected. Could Jesus have arranged to be despised and rejected? Sure. How about calling the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and a brood of vipers? You think that might get you despised and rejected? I suppose so. Also, it says in Isaiah 53 that the Messiah must be pierced stabbed, if you will, pierced for our transgressions. Now, was Jesus pierced? Yes. Now, could Jesus, because remember, Jesus wants to kind of march in and claim to be the Messiah. Now, part of the problem is, if you want to fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah, you've got to get killed. That's not a great plan, if you ask me. Now, remember, I'm pretending I'm a skeptic here, okay? I'm trying to take the part of a skeptic here. Could Jesus have arranged to be pierced? Oh, I suppose. Could you imagine him up on the cross? Hey, you guys are crucifying me. You know, that's not very nice. But could you do me a favor? After I die, could you stab me in the side? Don't worry. My friends will pay you $50 later on. Just help me out here. I don't think so. It also says, like a lamb who's about to be sheared, so he was silent before his accusers. And that's a fact, because the charges, they were not legitimate charges, and yet Jesus did not defend himself. There are other prophecies of the Messiah. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Well, let's read that. Micah 5, verse 2. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. All right.
সদা প্রভু বলছেন কিন্তু হে বৈতলেহেম ইফরাতা যদিও তুমি যিহুদার হাজার হাজার গ্রামগুলোর মধ্যে ছোট তবুও তোমার মধ্য থেকে আমার পক্ষে এমন একজন আসবেন যিনি হবেন ইসরায়েলের শাসনকর্তা যার শুরু পুরনো দিন থেকে অনন্তকাল থেকে.
Now this is clearly a prophecy about the Messiah. In fact, the Jews were well aware that this is a prophecy about their Messiah. I mean, it says, the one who's from ancient times. Now, how many here were born in Bethlehem? Let's see a show of hands of those who were born in Bethlehem. That's what I thought. Because if you want to be claimed to be the Messiah, you have to get born in Bethlehem. Now, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. That's a matter of historical record. We don't need the Bible for that. Now, could Jesus, because Jesus wants to claim to be this Messiah, could he have arranged to be born in Bethlehem? Well, if he's God, I guess so. That's a joke. That's supposed to be funny. All right. All right. Feel free to laugh when I tell a joke, okay? All right, Isaiah chapter 9. Let's read verse 1 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, let's read both verse 1 and verse 6.
কিন্তু যারা আগে কষ্টের মধ্যে ছিল তাদের জন্য অন্ধকার আর থাকবে না আগেকার দিনে ঈশ্বর সবুলন ও নফতালি এলাকাকে নিচু করেছিলেন কিন্তু ভবিষ্যতে সমুদ্রের কিনারার রাস্তা থেকে ধরে জর্দন নদীর পূর্ব পারের এলাকা পর্যন্ত অযহুদীদের গালিলকে তিনি সম্মানিত করবেন.
And verse 6, chapter 9, verses 1 and also verse 6.
এই সমস্ত হবে কারণ একটি ছেলে আমাদের জন্য জন্মগ্রহণ করবে, একটি পুত্র আমাদের দেওয়া হবে, শাসন করবার ভার তার কাঁধের উপর থাকবে, আর তার নাম হবে আশ্চর্য পরামর্শদাতা, শক্তিশালী ঈশ্বর, চিরস্থায়ী পিতা, শান্তির রাজা.
So it says, in the past, Zebulun and Naphtali, they were not so important. But in the future, God is going to honor Galilee of the Gentiles. And he says, what's going to come is one who will be called God among us, right? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you want to be the Messiah, you have to be born in Bethlehem, but you have to actually come from the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, I've got a map here. It'll show you where Zebulun and Naphtali are. All right, here's Zebulun and here's Naphtali. Now let's go forward to a map of Israel during the time of Jesus. Look where Nazareth is. Right on the border between Zebulun and Naphtali. Right next to Gath-Hepher, by the way, where Jonah was from. Now, could Jesus have arranged to come from the land of Zebulun and Naphtali? If you believe the Quran, he was speaking from the cradle. But I think that's silly. I don't think so. So in order to be the Messiah, you have to be born in Bethlehem and yet come from Nazareth. How many are qualified? In the entire earth today, how many are qualified? Based on that alone, not very many. Of course, you also have to get despised and rejected and pierced and be silent when you're accused. All those things have to come together. Jesus did all these things. By the way, it's not just the Bible rely on this. In fact, the early church was called the Nazarenes. It's a fact. All right, and then there's Psalm 22. I'm just going to sort of paraphrase, okay? In Psalm 22, it says, "Evil men have surrounded me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I can count my bones. They're staring at me. They're dividing up my garments and gambling for them." Try to imagine David wrote this, 1000 BC. "They pierced my hands and my feet." He must have thought, "What did I just write? What's that about? They pierced my hands and my feet." Did you know that crucifixion didn't even exist at that time? The Persians invented it roughly 300 BC. But even then, they didn't pierce hands and feet. They tied them. The Romans, roughly 100 BC, invented crucifixion. Now, in order to be the Messiah, you have to be crucified. Was Jesus crucified? That's a historical fact, despite what it says in that other book that you know about. Yeah, that's a lie. Anyway, it's a historical fact. Tacitus reports it. Josephus, these are Roman historians, Jewish historians. Now, could Jesus have arranged to be crucified? Well, first of all, that's kind of a hard plan. It means you get killed in the most humiliating way. But also, it's actually harder to get crucified than you think. Because the Jews could stone you, but only the Romans could crucify you. How would you pull that off? Says, "I can count all my bones." What's that about? Well, you know there were two other thieves, right? Jesus died first. Why? Because he was beaten almost to death. And so they pierced his side. And then it was the eve of the Passover, so the Jews said, having this crucifixion going on in Passover, can't do that. So end it. So they break the legs of the other thieves. The reason is, if you break the legs, they can't push up anymore. And they die within a few minutes of suffocation. But Jesus was already dead, so they didn't break his bones. You know, what's interesting is, the Romans fulfilled this prophecy. All right? Also, they divide my garments and gamble. Now, which is it? Did they divide the garments, one for you, one for me? Or did they gamble? Which did they do? They did both. They divided his garments, they came to the inner cloth, and they gambled over that. Now, could Jesus have arranged this prophecy? Can you imagine him on the cross saying, "Hey guys, that inner garment, that's really valuable. If I was you, come on, I don't think you should rip it up. It's going to lose its value." You know, that's really silly. But I believe Jesus is the Messiah. I believe when Jesus said all the prophecies about him were fulfilled by him, I believe it. Jesus in Zechariah 11. Let's read Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Easy to find, right before Matthew, right? Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13.
আমি তাদের বললাম, "আপনারা যদি ভালো মনে করেন তবে আমার বেতন দিন, কিন্তু যদি ভালো মনে না করেন তবে তা রেখে দিন." তখন তারা আমাকে 30টা রূপার টুকরা দিল। তখন সদাপ্রভু আমাকে বললেন, "আহা, কি সেই দাম যা তারা আমার মূল্য হিসেবে ঠিক করেছিল, ওটা কুমারের কাছে ফেলে দাও." তারপর আমি সেই 30টা রূপার টুকরা নিয়ে সদাপ্রভুর ঘরে কুমারের কাছে ফেলে দিলাম।
Now, If you read the context, this is clearly a prophecy of the Messiah. Besides, here God is speaking. He says, 30 pieces of silver, the price at which they priced me. Now, help me out. What did they betray Jesus? What did Judas betray Jesus for? Are you sure? Are you sure it's 30? Yeah, it's 30. Not 25? Not 40? 30. Okay. I like to imagine, you know those people from the Sanhedrin? I like to imagine them reading Zechariah a few weeks later. They're reading, they're going, oh no. Oh man, we should have given him 60 pieces. Why 30 pieces? And by the way, what Judas did was he took those 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was crucified. I believe it was not his plan for Jesus to be crucified. Not at all. I think it was trying to incite Jesus to rebellion. So instead, Jesus gets arrested and killed. So Judas feels guilty. So he throws the money back. They say, we can't take this. Instead, they use that money to buy the potter's field. What's it say? Throw it to the potter. The price at which they priced me. Now, if you want to claim to be the Messiah, you better get betrayed to death for 30 pieces of silver. What do you think? I think Jesus is the Messiah. That's what I think. All right, last one. This one's a little bit harder to understand. Let's take a little bit of time on this one. So let's read it carefully. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 26.
থেকে তোমার লোকদের ও তোমার পবিত্র শহরের জন্য 70 গুণ 7 বছর ঠিক করা হয়েছে সেই সময়ের মধ্যে মন্দতা বন্ধ করা হবে অন্যায় শেষ হবে পাপ ঢাকা দেওয়া হবে চিরস্থায়ী ন্যায্যতা স্থাপন করা হবে দর্শন ও ভবিষ্যৎবাণী পূর্ণ করা হবে এবং মহাপবিত্র স্থানকে অভিষেক করা হবে তুমি জেনে ও বুঝে নাও যে জেরুসালেমকে আবার মেরামত ও তৈরি করবার আদেশ বের হওয়া থেকে শুরু করে সেই মসিহের অর্থাৎ শাসনকর্তার আসা পর্যন্ত 7 গুণ 7 বছর এবং 62 গুণ 7 বছর হবে শহর চক ও শহর রক্ষা ব্যবস্থা আবার নতুন করে তৈরি করা হবে এবং তা করা হবে কষ্টের সময়ে 62 গুণ 7 বছর পরে মসিহকে মেরে ফেলা হবে এবং তার কিছুই থাকবে না অন্য একজন শাসনকর্তা আসবে এবং তার লোকেরা এসে শহর ও উপাসনা ঘরটা ধ্বংস করবে শেষ সময় বন্যার মতো আসবে শেষ পর্যন্ত যুদ্ধ চলবে এবং ধ্বংসের পর ধ্বংস ঠিক করে রাখা আছে
Now if you go back to Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, Daniel was reading Jeremiah the prophet. Probably Jeremiah chapter 23 we'd call it. And there it said 70 years before God comes to save his people. Daniel at this point had been in captivity for 68 years. He was an old man. So he prays. He says, God, please come and save your people. And God gives him this answer. He says, not 70 years, 77s of years, 490 years. He says, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, the Messiah is going to come to Jerusalem. He's going to atone for wickedness, put an end to prophecy, and be anointed as the Most Holy One. That word anointed is Messiah, Messiah. Clearly a prophecy of the Messiah. It says, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. When was that decree given? Well, I'll tell you, it was given after Daniel died, actually. In Ezra chapter 1, there's a decree to rebuild the temple from 538 BC, but not Jerusalem. In Ezra chapter 6, Artaxerxes says, go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And under Nehemiah, they actually did that. It's the seventh year of Artaxerxes, 458 BC. Now let's subtract 490 from 458. Yeah, could somebody close those doors? It's getting a little loud. We love the children, but, you know. Thank you. If you subtract 490 from 458, you get minus 32. That'd be 32 AD. No, not 32 AD, because there was no year zero. The calendar goes from 1 BC to 1 AD. 77s from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, we're talking 33 AD. So let's say somebody wants to claim to be the Messiah right now. That's a big problem. The timing is off. So think about it. If you want to claim to be the Messiah, you need to be despised and rejected. A few of us, even we meet that. You know, that's that we got that one covered. But you also have to be pierced. You have to be silent even when accused. You have to be born in Bethlehem. You have to come from the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. You have to be crucified. You have to have your bones not broken, even though you're crucified. You have to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, the money used for the potter. And you have to come to Jerusalem to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal a vision and prophecy in the year somewhere around 33 AD. Can you think of anybody who meets all those qualifications? Yeah. So how could people not believe in Jesus? How could they not believe in Jesus? You know, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He says, if you believe in me, you will live even though you die. Do you believe that? I believe that if I put my faith in Jesus, I will live even though I die. Jesus is not one religious leader amongst many. He's not merely a guru, merely a prophet. In fact, if Jesus is a prophet, then many who claim to have been prophets really are not prophets at all, because their message is a false message. So who do you say Jesus is? You know, I haven't even gotten to the greatest evidence for Jesus. What about the resurrection? What about the empty tomb? It is a historical fact that the tomb was empty. It's a historical fact that Jesus was crucified. Because historians, including Tacitus, a Roman, and Josephus, a Jew who was never converted, agree with that. It's a historical fact that Jesus was preached as having been raised from the dead, beginning in Jerusalem, immediately after those events. How do we explain these facts? I'm going to end here because we're going to have some other lessons, but I believe the only reasonable explanation of that is that it's because Jesus was raised from the dead. You know what? If Jesus was raised from the dead, I think that answers every other question. If Jesus was raised from the dead, then surely he was who he said he was. In fact, one of the prophecies was that he'd be raised from the dead. What prophecy? How about in Jonah? Jonah in the fish for 3 days and three nights. You know, I believe Jesus is who he says he is. There's a lot of people that are deceived. Everybody kind of says they believe in Jesus at least a little bit. They all agree he was a good man. No, he wasn't. If you don't believe he is the Son of God and your Savior, without whom you're lost, then you can't possibly believe he was a good man. Because he said those things about himself. And if that's not true, then he's not a good man. So I think we should get this message out. All right, anyway, we agreed to have some question and answers after the session, and people have been asking that, so we can take a break or we can go right into it, whatever you choose. Right into it? All right, great. So you could ask questions about these lessons from today or anything. Now, don't ask me who's going to win the next election here in Bangladesh or what's going to happen to the value of the rupiah, but, you know, things, Bible type stuff. Okay, any questions?